I don't normally have a title for sermonettes, but my conclusion will also do as the title, A Clenched Fist or Open Hand. I'm not from Northern Ireland, that's not to do with the red hand or anything, but I was country bred and in an area of the country which is noted for its care of money. And if you have a clenched fist, no one can take anything from you, but you can't receive anything either. As we were very powerfully reminded this morning by Mr. Anderson, how we live, how we react, is a reflection of how much God's Spirit is working within us. I want to apply that principle to how we use our resources. As we honour God with our substance and share with others, God has with the Holy Spirit, as it works through and in us, it is replaced. It's not something we can hang on to. We can't hold a portion of the Holy Spirit. It can only flow through us. But this principle of as you give, if you give in an appropriate fashion, God replenishes it. Proverbs 19, verse 17, he who has pity on the poor lends unto the eternal, and that which he has given will he pay him again. Another scripture for your notes, we won't turn there, Luke 6, 38. As God's Spirit enters our life, and we allow it to positively influence us, our relationship, in our relationship, first with our Creator, and secondly with other people, the created, God allows the Holy Spirit to flow through us. If we react in a negative way, we can quench the Holy Spirit. It's not something that once we have it, we always have it. The word for the Holy Spirit, from the Greek pneuma, is the air, the wind, where we get pneumatic tire, our word we use for the tires on a car, pneumatic, it's full of air. We breathe in and out. We can only hold our breath for a very short time. I think the very best people can't last more than 10 minutes. I struggle to last more than 30 seconds before I am desperate to breathe again. Even when I prepared and studied, I used to dive a long time ago, and it was a good idea to be able to hold your breath for a while if you lost your face mask. Or I think I was the worst culprit. I used to get so excited with the narcs, the sort of euphoria of being underwater. I used to kick other people's face masks and demand valves off them. So they had to be very patient and replace all the equipment before they lost their breath. We can't hold God's power, but we can use it. We can be a conduit. And the same way, in a physical representation, God helps us to understand this by when we use and administer the things that he has given us in an appropriate way, in a reasoned way, in a careful way, God will replenish it. We learn one of the first lessons I had to learn, nearly cost me my marriage. My wife was called into the church. We received the information at the same time. My wife responded to it. I responded to it, but not positively. And when I found out that she was tithing out of the housekeeping money, I was enraged. I think that's a polite way of expressing it. Perhaps an inadequate way of expressing it. My wife challenged me. She said, well, I can see it's there. And she said, you've read it. I think you can understand it's there. She said, why don't you try it? Why don't you prove it? I said, oh, well, this divorce is expensive. I suppose a month of showing her how stupid this is. Well, that was well over 30 years ago. I'm still trying to prove her how foolish and it was. I've yet to do it. God has honoured us all those years while we have faithfully tithed. It's very difficult to realise that it extends beyond that, because we are part of this world. The ethos of this world, where we strive to get, to climb over other people, to be competitive, to get more. It's the way we measure success in this world. A successful drug dealer is counted as a successful man in this world if he makes enough millions at it. He immediately, because of his wealth, is accepted into the highest level of society. We learn to tithe, yes, but then we have to learn to have an attitude of give all the time. This sermonette, of course, is the introduction to the giving of a festival tithe, which is a command, but the giving has to be on the basis of what we choose to give. That is what God leaves to us to decide. Now, it's give according to as we are blessed. You don't go into credit. You don't become part of the subprime mortgage debacle to give God an offering. You have to have the money. And to have the money, you will have put out effort. You will have planned. It's not an irresponsible approach to giving. You cannot give what you don't have. You cannot give what you owe to someone else. It involves effort. Paul told someone, don't steal, work so you can give to those that need. It's not an easy option. It's not a question of, oh, if I'm just generous, God will replenish it. You've got to budget. You've got to work. You've got to give it to the appropriate people. Why should God honour your tithes and your offerings if you are just giving it to anybody? Someone who isn't preaching the whole counsel of God. Someone who is a false representative of Christ. If you are aiding an evil work, should God bless that? If you do it with a good heart, I'm sure he would. But if you knowingly or carelessly or irresponsibly give money to the wrong person, it would not be appropriate for God to support that. There's a proverb in Proverbs, chapter 3. I'd like to read quite a portion of this. There's one scripture, one verse, which was very appropriate to giving an offering. But all the stuff around it, it just all holds together, and I don't know where to edit out. So, if you'll indulge me, please read with me Proverbs chapter 3, and I'd like to start in verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. This is all part of the way of life we have to be following. So shall you find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. There's nothing wrong with being viewed favourably by mankind, as long as we haven't compromised God's law to do it. If we live honourably, we will draw approbation, we will draw compliments from people. But if that is our goal to what we achieve, an end in itself, God has to be in the picture. You shall find favour. Verse 5. Trust in the Eternal with your heart and lean not to your own understanding. We really do need to trust when it comes to tithing. When you are on a limited budget, to part with a tenth and to expect to be better off with 90%, it's illogical. It's ridiculous. This is what I told my wife all those years ago. But God promises that it'll be the 90% is worth more. We live this way. But all the money we give, if we give it appropriately, the same thing applies. The more we give, the more we have. But if we give merely to get, obviously we cancel the benefits out. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. We have to do this with God's wisdom, with God's understanding, the knowledge. Verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. Don't be fooling yourself. That sermon today hit me really strongly about the self-righteousness, the hypocrisy. We were all sinners, and yet we look down so easily. It is so easy to make that mistake that we were warned against doing. It is so easy to look down on other people. They are the same as we were. And unfortunately, it doesn't take very much before I slip right back to being like that again. I joked with Mr. Anderson after the sermon about the problems he had with a motorcyclist. I carved someone up today getting here. I was driving a car. My behaviour did not prove any better than that motorcyclist. Unfortunately, the other driver was much more Christian than I was. He gave me plenty of space. He didn't even flash. No honking of the horn. I thought, what an example to me. As a result of doing all the right things in verse 8, we are told it shall be health to your navel, marrow to your bones. This is an incredible benefit. You can't buy good health, no matter how much money you have. Then verse 9, the verse that I started when preparing the sermonette. Honour the eternal with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. The offering of substance and then, of course, the first fruits are tithes. There is a promise, this incredible blessing. So shall your barns be filled with plenty. Your presses shall burst out with new wine. A warning now in verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the eternal, neither be weary of his correction. Don't expect everything to go swimmingly because you've tithed and given an offering. It's a whole package. Our entire attitude is being worked on all the time. God puts us through the mill for our benefit and for the benefit that ultimately we will be able to teach to other people. Don't expect plain sailing. If you think that all I have to do is to tithe, make an offering, God will reward me with huge wealth. Unless you can cope with huge wealth, God won't curse you with it. And for whom the Eternal loves, he corrects, even as a father, a son in whom he delights. I didn't want to edit any of that out. I wanted to read the whole lot. It's all appropriate. It's all part, all holds together. As we are able, we need to work to be able to honour and provide for God. We must not look for a quick fix in our finances. Don't look to get a big return, not a lottery win. You work at a job, you are careful with your finances, so you are able to give. Don't look to get a fast buck. God doesn't bless that approach to wealth. Work, and God will help you to build your finances. Don't look to be rich quickly. Proverbs 10:4, he becomes poor that deals with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. It's a responsibility. And of course, you cannot be careless with how you give. If people can, we live in a world where people will exploit everything about you. You have to use wisdom. You have a limited amount of effort. You have a limited amount of energy. You have a limited amount of finance. It's not a question of just giving out with the person who squeals the loudest. Like a first aider, when you come upon the scene of an accident, it's not always the person that is thrashing around and screaming that needs the most help. It might be the quiet person in the corner who is groaning quietly to themselves. They may be the ones that should be getting your attention. And the same way with our finances, don't give necessarily to someone who shouts the loudest. Give appropriately, where it will do some good. It's no good helping someone who's going to use it to get drugs and injure themselves further. Don't give money to a drunkard hoping he's going to feed his family. He's going to feed his disease. Holy Day offerings is a part of our training in the give way. It's part of the whole package. It's not an end in itself. It's the part of the entire way we live. As we were reminded this morning, how we think about other people, God is looking at all these things, how we respond to the situations we're in. Because we give, we're not better than anyone else. It just means we have a better understanding in one small area. We need to do this cheerfully, if it's begrudgingly. One of the things that came out with Mr. Bowles' series on the Ten Commandments was just how covetous I am. Preparing this sermon has been a little bit of a trial for me. It has reminded me just how covetous I am. Even of the money I have put aside to give as God's offering. And I've been able to give for years. But it is still occasionally a hill to climb. It suddenly bites that amount of money would do this or would do that to selfish desire. And it is a complete jolt to have to stand up here, recommend to you a way of life which I am struggling with myself. Not all the time. Sometimes it just is like you're on autopilot, it's fine, everything is going smoothly. No problem at all writing a check, you're glad to do it, you know it's going to benefit other people, it's fine. And another day, you're just like hitting a stone wall, I don't want to pay it, I don't want to do this. And you suddenly realise, lost the picture. I just don't have the understanding I need, I don't have the grasp, the wisdom. Everything about this world is so short term. It is so short term. And yet we're overwhelmed by it. We're overwhelmed by it. We must go beyond that. To go back to my opening comment, which way of life have we got? Are we still clenching our fists to make sure no one takes anything from us? And also preventing God from blessing and giving us something? Or are we learning to be open-handed? Which also, incidentally, is much more non-threatening. Are we open-handed? Or are we a clenched fist? There will be some offertory music. It's a psalm taken from Psalm 21. For the King shall joy in your strength, Lord. It will be sung by Mrs. Paula Henderson and accompanied by Mr. John Bowles.